Welcome to the Shiny Brightly Show. I'm Howard Brown, author, speaker, Silicon Valley entrepreneur, international peacemaker, and yes, a two-time stage four cancer patient survivor and advocate. Each episode will take you from resilience to hope and a whole lot more, because shining brightly does make the world a better place. Be prepared to be inspired.
Hello, it's Howard Brown. It's the Shining Brightly Show. And I have the most amazing guests because I like people that are interesting, intelligent, and have amazing stories to share. Mitchell Levy, welcome. How are you?
It is great to be here. I'm thinking about these accolades and wondering if they're all true. But thank you so much for having me.
I have to tell you that we have not connected for a while. And I am so glad we have, because you popped into my feed and you invited me to the Referral Network Club. And I have to tell you, absolutely blown away, a whole new way of thinking about myself and how I actually present myself to the world and what playgrounds I play in. So yeah, I'm thinking it was an incredible experience. So I just want to tell you that I'm so glad that we are reconnected and you are doing amazing things. And we're going to discuss a lot of them right now. Let me tell you a little bit about Mitchell. Oh my goodness, this guy is impressive. And I consider him a very big role model for me and a mentor. So global credibility expert Mitchell Levy is a two-time TEDx speaker, an international best-selling author of over only 60 books, only 60, executive coach, a Marshall Goldsmith 100 coaches. You've interviewed now 500 thought leaders, but I heard now the number's closer to 1,000 thought leaders on credibility. You're only published in 7 countries, international bestseller. You've delivered a powerful TEDx on humanity, created courses, and created the Credibility Nation membership community for those to live, learn, and surround themselves with others on this credibility journey. You're an accomplished entrepreneur. You've created 20 businesses, including Silicon Valley, 4 publishing companies. You've published over 750 books and counting. And you provided strategic consulting to hundreds of corporations and companies and been the chairman of the board of NASDAQ-listed companies. And Mitchell, you are happily married for 31 years. I've got 29, so I'm almost behind you. And prior to COVID-19, you regularly spent 4 weeks a year in Europe with family and friends. So you got to kind of figure out and put that back in the on the bucket list as well. So welcome. And basic first question is, how are you shining brightly today, this week? What's going on, man?
You know, it was based on the research. I really started focusing on credibility. And 7 months ago, one of the biggest lessons I learned about credibility is clarity. And since 7 months, I've created 4 new projects. You were part of them, one of them, the Referral Network Club. And it is so amazing to be able to look at any company and talk to any CEO or any individual and help them articulate who they are in less than 10 words. Yeah. And that level of clarity often brings a vibrational energy to the person I'm speaking with, because if we're going to go into the woo-woo stuff, it really is the frequency of the words that represent who they are and how they show up in the world. And to be able to do that in words in a way that the person who's receiving it understands it and then starts emanating it outwards, it's magic. It's shining brightly.
It is shining brightly, that clarity. So, and I am just starting that journey with you, and I'm telling you, it works, and I'm getting there. So I'm a work in progress, right? We're all a work in progress.
Yes, we are.
So you've had such an amazing career and business journey as an entrepreneur. And where was that time where you said, you know what, credibility matters, okay? And you became so entranced in the research. When was that time? And tell me where that, you know, how that all kind of came to be.
You know, I've often looked at, I've started becoming an entrepreneur in 1997. Prior to that, I was working for Sun Microsystems. So this is my, if you look at this is my garage, and I've worked out of my garage since we did an upgrade in 2000. So I've worked out of the garage since 2000, worked out of my house since 1997. And so I find an opportunity and I then figure out how best can I serve an audience to make money? Entrepreneur. It was the dot-com days, as I did a lot in the e-commerce space. Created a CEO networking group, spent time. I was on a public board for a little bit. And in 2005, I decided it made sense to start a publishing company. We've created four, and as you mentioned, we published 750 books. Now, what started happening as time went on and as Amazon kept penetrating is the book publishing industry has become democratized. And as something like that happens and business models start getting really stupid, it's time to go somewhere else. So in 2019, I kind of woke up one morning. I said, okay, what's next? And I go, well, I work with thought leaders. What do I need to do? And I said, thought leaders, credibility. And it just credibility. And then I go, well, what am I going to do with that? And the next day I woke up and I thought Napoleon Hill interviewed 500 millionaires and did Think and Grow Rich. Mitchell Levy's going to interview 500 thought leaders on credibility.
It's actually incredible. And we crisscrossed, by the way. I moved in 1997 from Los Angeles in the kind of avid technology audio video space for broadcast television. And I got tapped by Hummer Winblad Venture Partners. And there's a chapter in my book on Silicon Valley during the 97 to about 2005. And where I actually say that the new math was 2 + 2 = 200. It made no sense, right? It was a crazy time. And I got to be part of, really two companies that both went public, and the economy changed. A bagel became $5, right? You know, everything changed, but innovation was the key, the heart of the change of Silicon Valley. So, but
by the way, this is the first podcast I've ever been on when somebody's equated the price of a bagel to inflation.
Yeah, well, absolutely. So it was a crazy time for me there. And so you as well, got a taste of that, me as a startup entrepreneur. But I will tell you that the pace of that was not sustainable. And the logic wasn't sustainable. So the dot-com bubble burst, and I went in a different direction. So it's really incredible. Now, so tell me about this, because what we need to put a little definition, a little parameter on what credibility is, and how would you define it?
So if you read the dictionary definitions, it's 1/3 accurate. What the dictionary will say is that credibility is the quality in which one is trustworthy. And I'm going to say that's partially true. When doing the research, and now if you look at the way the world is, where everyone has a camera and everyone has a microphone, there are more elements than just trust. Because trust is also booked or looked at from, and so the way credibility is redefined from the research, it's the quality in which you're trusted, known, and liked. And under being known, it's not that I know of you, Howard, it's that I actually know you. I know the intent and commitment you have to do the right thing. I know your internal integrity, right? And by the way, just for those that are under the opportunity to, if you want to be liked, what came out there, so there are 10 values of credibility, and I'll give you two of them. And this is an easy way to be liked. And there are two things. First, show respect. That means when you have a meeting, come early, come prepared, come with your heart. The second thing, I call it spreading cred dust. So the second thing is sharing the ideas, thoughts, and actions of others. So don't take credit for other people's work. When you meet somebody and you love what they do, you're spreading my cred dust right now by having me on your show. It makes more sense if you can actually demonstrate, if you're a manager and you demonstrate the value of the people working with you, i.e. for you, if you demonstrate them by showcasing them, spreading their cred dust, they're going to bend over backwards to empower you more.
I love it. And that we have to go, when people get in touch with you, they're going to want to learn about the other 10 values of credibility. That was a great tease. But I tell you that we're living in this society of swipe left, swipe right. Now, you and I have been married for a long time, but my friends that are recently divorced or single, they swipe right, swipe left. They don't even know that person. They look at a picture. They might read one line, I like dogs. I like walking on the beach. And again, I tell you, I'm almost 10,000 people on LinkedIn and maybe 5,000 on Facebook. I don't know everybody anymore. I don't know everybody anymore. That it's just t it's too big of a circle for you to actually get to know that many people, right? And people ebb and flow in and out of your life all the time. And so social networking has kind of gives you a glimpse. It doesn't tell you the full story. So you really don't know, the details of what's going on in someone's life or with them, just by taking a look at their profile or swiping right or swiping left. So
No,
I
but
don't.
Howard, here's what's interesting is if someone wanted a particular service, right? If somebody came to you tomorrow and said, "Hey, listen, I just don't have clarity now that you and I are talking," is, "Oh, you got to talk to my friend Mitchell."
That's right.
And what'll happen is, based on how you know them, they may not ask anymore. They may not even do any research. They're going to want to reach out. Same sort of thing. If somebody that really finds me credible, that trusts, know, and loves me, and something crops up where I say, you got to talk to Howard. He's great at this, right? It's that. So what happens is we know what social networking is. We know what social marketing is. At least we think we know. But what's really happening with now, you don't know if the person on the other end is a bot or a human. And so what you really know is you know the person you're with, and you know whether or not you trust, know, and love them, or trust, know, and like them. And if they recommend somebody, you have a higher propensity, that ability, because the trust is being transferred,
That's
that
right.
I know this person's being transferred. Now, they may say something like, "Hey, listen, this person's credible, but you may not like their political views." That's okay. That's still a very credible statement. But when somebody says, "This person's credible, I even like their political views, but they're going to come 10 minutes late to every meeting," that level of disrespect is enough to go, "Yeah, I don't know, Howard. I don't, is it worth it?" Right. So anyway, that's how we have conversations these days.
I agree. And so by us actually taking the time to actually get to know each other at, I wouldn't say that at the deepest level, but at enough where we've built know, like, and trust. And I do recommend you, it is spreading your credibility dust. I agree with you with that. And so I do a little bit of interfaith relations. And the reason I do that is that one, I think it actually it's expansive to know people that don't look like me, talk like me, have the same food interests, grew up the same way, the same history, speak the same language. And I think that I wish more people would think and be open to that because I think it broadens you, your horizons, and expands your world. But right now, a lot of people, they live in a closed loop. And unfortunately, they don't choose to do that. And it's a choice. It's totally a choice. And so when you're talking to credibility, is this like a whole new concept for, like big executives or corporation folks? Have they just ignored this?
It's a great question. By the way, I am done with the coursework in getting a PhD, and the dissertation's on just that. It's the missing element in leadership today. I think what's happened is humans, we like to make things more complicated so the consultants can charge more money. And we can't possibly imagine the simplicity of being able to articulate who we are or what the company is and what we stand for in less than 10 words. What we've been taught is every time we have an option to have a mic, we need to sell, sell, sell. Sort of like, you buy real estate because of location, location, location. You get in a mic, you got to sell, sell, sell. Think about trust, know, like. If somebody gets to know you and all you're doing is trying to sell, that means you don't have the intent and commitment to do the right thing. All you want to do is make money and sell stuff. They're going to, as they get to know you, they're not going to like you. They're not going to trust you. They will not have credibility in you.
So, are you coaching and teaching how to actually establish better credibility? And then I always use, your phraseology is that the playgrounds that you choose to play in. So one of them, could be your business, hat, and the other one is more of a social hat. The other one could be a philanthropic hat or a volunteer hat. There's many playgrounds, right?
So the answer is, let's do the yes and.
Okay.
The problem with the word credibility is something that my wife was kind enough to bring up 3 years ago. And here's what she said. Honey, do you realize that all business people think they're credible? Now, whether or not you are Republican credible or Democratic credible or left, right, center, everyone considers themselves credible. By the way, let's use the same word, accountable. Everybody thinks they're accountable, but then they make excuses why they didn't make the deadlines they set for themselves. Okay, we'll put that aside. Mm-hmm. That aside, in doing the research and looking at people, so many people do not have clarity. Just ask any one of your friends. So tell me is what you do, and can you do it in a sentence? Can you do it in less than 10 words? And, 5 or 10 minutes later, they'll go, how'd I do? And so what's fascinating, if you're really expert of you or of your company, if you really have and understand the playground that the company plays in, you should be able to articulate it in less than 10 words. And if you could do that, there's an implied level of credibility, of knowledge, of success that you have because you have the ability to really identify a pain point or a pleasure point and the audience that you work with.
I have to tell you that I've been applying this to myself, but I'm also applying this to my nonprofit work. And it's really amazing. But because I'm in the colorectal cancer space, and we have a colontown.org, which basically is 10,000 colorectal patient and caregiver that are getting support. We're walking alongside of them. And I actually tried this out, and I actually said that we actually make smarter patients and caregivers. And I talked to the pharma industry about that, and they're like, yes, because we need to use that 15 or 20 minutes we get in a clinic with a doctor or an oncologist very efficiently. And so making smarter patients and caregivers is the goal of this nonprofit. So I'm working it. I'm a work in progress, but
nice.
I have to tell you that it's really, that's one example, just giving you an example.
Great example. And we could take it offline. I'm going to say that's a great tagline that then goes with an interesting CPAP.
Yes.
Because remember yours was, it's the who.
Yes.
Struggling leaders getting back on track. Right? It's like struggling. Who do you work? Struggling leaders getting. I get that. And by the way, because it's something you've lived, you have credibility to talk about that.
That's right.
Mine is 8 words. I wish I could make it 4, but I needed a little bit more. Coaches who've created a job, not a business.
It's great. I appreciate allowing me to share my 2 examples there. But you actually have some case studies. Like, what examples would you use? Because people may still conceptually not get this when they're listening to the show. So do you want to provide a couple of case study examples maybe?
So happy to.
Okay.
I'm going to say this, and then you could slap me around later if it was a bad thing to say. I could say with 100% certainty that even when I give the formula and share with people the formula ahead of time, that 98% of the time, they will get it wrong.
Yeah.
Now, wrong is a relative term. They'll get much smaller. What happens is we have been ingrained that anytime we're in front of an audience of at least one, we have to sell ourselves. And a CPAP has no selling component associated with it. It's just the who and the what. So a CPAP is, who do you serve? 1, 2, or 3 words, and either what from their perspective is their pain point or their pleasure point. So I give you a great example. Company I'm working with, 1,800 employees. They've been around long enough that the business model that they use for the entire company is the person who screams the most gets the most attention. So all the customers who get more attention than others are those that scream. So imagine you're in customer service, you're working for a company, and you've trained your customers to scream louder. What type of environment is that for your customer service reps? I'm just going to say not good. Okay. And then that same environment is brought across throughout the entire company. Once again, employee engagement, not good. The CMO spent 7 weeks figuring out who the company is, looking at the stakeholders, coming up with a customer avatar, coming up with a value-added proposition. And then we spoke. And when it was time, I was listening to all the research. And then when it was time to come up with a CPOP, we came up with five words. And she just about dropped. Because to be able to describe with simplicity five words for a company that has that many employees, and to then allow the employee base to wrap their arms around the playground they play in and to treat their jobs as participants in the playground, starts changing the attitudes that executive down have and that employees up have. Because now you can think about, well, how would I play differently with the different stakeholders that I actually interact with? And the answer is many different ways.
Yeah, that's powerful. Tell everyone just what CPOP means if they might have missed that, because it's your acronym.
You. I don't think I said it. So thank
you. No, I know. That's why we're gonna tell people, because we mentioned they might not know what a CPOP is. So you'll explain it now.
So it's customer point of possibilities. And I would have to tell you, when I was doing the research, the 500 people, I thought it was customer point of pain. Because it was always like, okay, what's your, you know, and I think when you were part of the 500, it was, what is the customer? You were part of the 500 people I interviewed. You were my Napoleon Hill study, right?
Yeah.
And one of my friends, a guy by the name of Raji Sethi. Raj has helped 3,000-ish startup companies in Silicon Valley. And he said, hey, Mitchell, can you record me and do the CPOP exercise? So let me tell you what his CPOP is. Game changers looking for their secret sauce. Like, you think about that and like, wait, I want to meet this guy. I want to know this guy, right? So normally what happens when I share a CPOP is with an individual, I go, hey, can you sleep on it? Wake up in the morning, tell me what you think. And so he came back a couple of days later and he says to me something really powerful. So let's think about this. I interviewed 500 people. I wrote a book and I did a TEDx, all referencing customer point of pain. CPOP is customer point of pain. Raj comes back and says, Mitchell, I don't care what you call it. I'm calling it customer point of possibilities. And sometimes, you know, somebody hits you in the side of the head with a hammer. And I'm like, Raj, you're right. I mean, it took me about 3 seconds. I mean, with all of the infrastructure and everything I've done, I'm like, you're right. That's what I'm calling it too. And I like immediately changed it on the spot. And it's, you know, sometimes, you know, you may not absolutely get the concepts right, but it really is the customer point of possibilities, because if you are a credible human, you are of service to others. So who do you serve and what do they perceive as their pain point or pleasure point?
It's simple, but it's so powerful. And it takes a little work to do this, because I'm in the work right now, and I appreciate that. And others need to do that as well. So, you know, listen, we live in this blink of an eyelash digital, you know, kind of environment, right? So, you know, it's not about having 20,000, you know, connections on LinkedIn or Facebook and things like that. You know, I know what the answer, I think I'm going to answer for you, right? How important is credibility and how you show up in the world right now?
I'm going to say, I believe that credibility and clarity is everything. Because if you don't know somebody, then how do you get to know them? Well, you get a referral, right? And if somebody refers you, then I'm borrowing their credibility for you. But if you just stumble upon somebody you've never met, typically there are seconds for you to decide, do you trust this person? You then spend another couple seconds, or maybe 30 seconds figuring out, hey, as I get to know this person, do I like them? And as I'm getting to know them, do I really like them? And you know, if it's a vendor, a doctor, lawyer, dentist, you know, anything that's servicing me, like, you really do get to choose whether or not they're credible, whether or not you really can trust, know, and like who they are. Because we want to work with people. We want to play with people that we find credible, that we actually really do trust, know, and like.
It is. And I want to now ask you, because it's really funny. We're talking in the green room, and I asked you and I said, does credibility come first or does clarity come first? And take me through this, because this is actually mind blowing for me. But because I would have said my credibility comes first and then I get clarity. And I think you're going to disagree.
Well, I actually, by the way, I agreed with you, because I spent a year interviewing 500 thought leaders on credibility. So it was my $50,000 project to learn a lot. And I even learned that clarity was important, but I still spent 3 years focusing on credibility. And going back to what my wife said, she was right. So women in the audience, and guys in the audience, when your wife says something, they're right. Okay. So she was right. And because everyone thinks they're credible, and it's really easy, and they could justify to themselves that they're credible. That said, ask anybody who they are and what they do, and most people do not have clarity. Most people cannot, in less than 10 words, describe who they are without throwing in some marketing cookie cutter stuff. Right. And so starting for me 7 months ago, when I realized that clarity really does come first, all of a sudden I've created 4 projects in the last 7 months focusing on different aspects, because I actually have clarity on my clarity. And it turns out if you can clearly articulate who you are and how you show up, everything changes. People start looking at you with more respect. People start referring you because they can, you know, they find you credible, that they trust no one like you. And because you've made it so easy to refer you, they actually do.
I want to give you an example of this. I just got off of a cruise ship. It was called the Reinvention Retreat. I got 58 out of the 60 people to my session. I led it off. So I got good attendance. I want to tell you that this woman, Bobby Gavonis, handed out aha moments. I loved it. Right after you heard someone's speech, you wrote a little slip on an aha moment. I got 38 aha moments out of 58, which is beautiful. Here's the thing that's carrying over the cred dust, is that I have gotten asked to speak at 5 different other venues, okay, stages, and I've gotten about a half a dozen people that are interested to be introduced to me, high quality introductions, either to come on my podcast, come on their podcast, or consider it. And I have to tell you this, it really works. When people feel that you've left your imprint, or they feel that you're being authentic and accountable, right? So I'm your experiment, Mitch, and I'm telling you that I believe that it's working. And I'm continuing on being the Jedi Master, and I'm continuing being the student. But they're really examples of feedback that I'm getting now that are just positive reinforcements to it as well. So tell me about, we're gonna actually head down to the Shining Bright Spotlight in a second, but I wanted you to just address what's next now that you've done all this research, you're rolling it out, the networking program, the referralnetworkclub.com. I inviting everyone to join there, the show notes, and it's really very different. People go in and you're basically looking, and you're doing a lot of self-examination. You're hearing other people do it as well, and some transformation. No one's selling anything except self-improvement. And it's simple, but it's really hard work. And so I invite people to join you on that. So what other great, exciting stuff that you got going on?
So I have a certified clarity specialist program. So those are for the coaches who've created a job, not a business. It is a done with you program. Because the coach needs to go, and by the way, it's coaches, consultants, and smaller businesses where there's one or two primary rainmakers. And because they need to go through transformation, they are assigned a coach that works with them. Now, because we're early in the creation, that coach happens to be me, but I'm building it in such a way that those people who are graduating will be taking over for me. We have that. And then we have something called Coaching Fest. So I'm interviewing some of the top coaches and coaching trainers in the world. And we're putting together an opportunity so that coaches can understand, not the transformation part, because that's what coaches do well, that coaches need to understand that they are entrepreneurs. And as entrepreneurs, you need to run a business. How do you successfully run a business? Well, you have a continual flow of new people who are referral partners and new people who are prospects turning into customers.
Yeah, the coaching industry's changed. A lot of people call themselves a coach, but are they really a coach? And so you need to wade through those waters as well. But and I went to Babson College, the number one school for entrepreneurship. And so I think I got the basics, but you have to be able to pivot and change over time to the environment, right? I mean, I graduated in 1987, so that makes me old, I guess. But I'm learning the new tools and the techniques, and you're helping as well. So I want to put on our sunglasses. If you have yours, put yours on. And this is actually the Shining Brightly Spotlight, because we are shining on clarity, credibility, and you, Mitchell Levy. Tell people how to best get in touch with you, and then share with me some inspiration, a quote, a story, and then kick the show back to me for closure.
You know, the best way to reach out, many people will give you tons of things to think about. Go to the website, my website, mitchelllevy.com. So MitchellLevy.com. You'll be able to see all the programs we run, be able to jump into the referral network club. And if it makes sense for you to book time on my calendar, you can go and directly do that as well. So that's MitchellLevy.com. You know, the thing I want you to think about, the area that I want us to think about is we think about this word called legacy. And what is the legacy we're leaving? So what I want to say is the legacy you're leaving is not leaving. The legacy you're living is the one that's important. What do people think about when you're not in the room? What do people talk about when they're not in the room? Do people talk about you in a nice way? Do they refer you? Do they recommend you? Do they have positive things? If you are credible, someone that people trust, know, and like, they start talking about you in a better way when you're not in a room. And if you have clarity, they know what to say. And so I'm going to say, let's tie clarity into your legacy so that as someone who wants your legacy to be strong, make it strong today for those who are around you and for future generations that at least remember you for the impact you've been able to make.
I take my glasses off to look you in the eye, because that's a wow. Not the legacy you're leaving, the legacy you are living. That's a Shining Brightly Spotlight, baby. That's incredible. Oh my God. Well, I mean, this has been a fantastic show, and we're going to spread the word in the show notes and then social and all that, and share this, because people need to actually, contact you, Mitchell, and get and try you out, because it's actually really, for me, been transformative, and I'm so appreciative, and I do consider you an expert and a mentor and a friend as well. And so I'm going to give a shout out as well to my publisher, my supporter, Front Edge Publishing, Read the Spirit magazine, which I blog each week, and my podcast house, the Amplify You Network. And this has been amazing. And just, you can get me at shiningbrightly.com. Everything's there for you for speaking, podcasting, what I care about for advocacy, and how I show up in the world as well. And so just remember, if we choose to shine brightly just a little bit each day for ourselves, and then go lift up others, and then in our communities and neighborhoods, the world will be a better place. Mitchell, outstanding. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, it's amazing. Thanks, Howard. Thanks so much.
Thank you. I hope you enjoyed this episode of Shining Brightly with me, Howard Brown. Come interact with me at shiningbrightly.com. And remember, keep on shining.